In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, a few years ago, there was an advertisement that ran for a local television station that showed a woman sitting in her car, comfortably minding her own business, when suddenly a man approached her car in a frenzied state. He doesn't say a word to her, but he forcibly opens the door, takes her by the arm, and pulls her out of the car. To her, and to the audience viewing the advertisement, it looks like the man is attacking her. But then the camera begins to pan back, and it can then be seen that the car is actually on fire, and the woman was completely unaware. The man was not assaulting the woman, as it first appeared. He was rescuing her. The ad then concludes with the words, "You need the bigger picture. Channel 10 News gives you the bigger picture." And I think that we as Christians would do very well to remember those words, especially as it applies to our liturgical calendar. Too often do we fall into the misconception that the pinnacle of our holy season begins at Christmas and ends at Pascha. Quite certainly, the secular world will tell you this. They don't know any better. Casual Christians will tell you this, especially those that only show up to Mass two times a year at Christmas and Easter. They fail to see it. And I'll say it again, we fall into the tendency of having failed to see the whole picture, the entire scope of God's plan at work. Did you notice how after Pascha, the altar still remains in white? Father and I still wear our white vestments. There's something still happening here, something at work. The church is still in this festive time. God is still working. And today is the day that we finally see it, the bigger picture of God's divine plan, which reaches its summit today with the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Today marks the culmination of a process, as I'll mention later, that traces its roots all the way back to our forefather Abraham. From the time of Abraham, humanity has been on a journey and ascendancy to the throne room of God, towards the highest peaks of his divine path, which will bring him to salvation. And presently speaking, we have just gone through such a climb, experiencing and being part of this great ascent towards God's heavenly palace. Having celebrated the great feast of Pascha, Christ's ascension, and Holy Pentecost. My friends, we've been on this journey, a holy procession towards the summit of God's divine plan for creation, for humanity. And today we rejoice because through God's grace, we have reached the top. We see the bigger picture. At Holy Friday, Christ, the spotless victim, offered himself on behalf of humanity. He died upon the cross. And I mentioned previously how the resurrection is the day to mark the restoration of our human dignity. I have also said that the ascension is the day then wherein our human nature is made righteous and exalted, because Christ, who adorned himself in our flesh, now sits upon the throne of God. And as Father has mentioned last Sunday, it is at Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes what? To dwell with all of humanity, to fill all of creation. Do you see this procession, this ascendancy that has formed? Ever since sin entered the world, an atonement was necessary. The world was in need of saving, to be rededicated to its original purpose. And so, the blood of Christ was shed. A sacrifice has been offered. He rose from the dead, thus defeating death and freeing men from the bondage of sin. He ascends into heaven so that we too might dwell in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit comes in to fill all things with his presence, thus covering the entire world, once bound to the darkness of sin, with the divine light of Christ. As the Apostle John says in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also the whole world." You see, God has still been at work. His glorious resurrection was only part of this process towards rededicating the world to himself. And today, we see it. We see it clearly with the feast of the Holy Trinity, where God's plan has been accomplished, where God the Father's plan has been fully revealed, have been accomplished through the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit in bringing a chaotic world back to order and rest. Today, we are confronted with the knowledge, at least partly, of what the Apostle John must have witnessed in this morning's epistle, a vision of the culmination of God's divine plan. And likewise, we share the words of Paul from his epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable are his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For him, by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever." And so now that we know, now that we have been privy to such truths, what will our response be? Did the apostles, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, did they stay in their homes? No. Were they still awestruck and motionless to do anything but awe and the wonder of God? Surely not. Paul and the apostles did what? They got up. They began to testify to the nations, as Christ says in this morning's gospel, speaking what we know and testifying to what we have what? Seen. As Christ says in Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." My friends, Christ's words are very clear as he lays out the mission of the church, the goal for humanity, to go and preach the gospel to all nations and to give glory to the Blessed Trinity. How do we achieve this? Through our acts of love and charity to one another. Yes, through our prayers, through our worship of God, and through our dealings with one another. We accomplish this at home as well. Perhaps home is where it should start. In how we care for our spouse, our children, nurturing one another with the love of Christ that abounds in us and in him. A love that covers a multitude of failings and mistakes as families often encounter, but in all things, overcoming it all with the love shown by Christ through the power and majesty of the Blessed Trinity. Now, earlier I mentioned how this procession towards the Mount of God started with our forefather Abraham. So look at what happened with Abraham. He and his wife Sarah had been childless to the point where Sarah was no longer of a childbearing age. But what happened? God visited Abraham in the form of three persons, symbolic of the Blessed Trinity, and told him that he and his wife would bear a son. And so it happened. It was the Holy Trinity, as my friend Alejandro and I discussed last night, that brought life into the world. It was the Holy Trinity that restored a womb that had been closed by old age and gave birth to a new life from which a holy nation would be born. And all of us, having been born into this newness of life in Christ through our holy baptism, bear the image of the Holy Trinity within us. It's in you. Our life, our walk with Christ was set in motion when the Holy Trinity visited Abraham. For now we see, on this blessed feast day, how the Holy Trinity accomplished what Satan thought was an impossible task in restoring life to a womb, the church, where no seed had grown before, to a race that was thought to be once dead, but now alive in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.